Just ignore them. Just ignore them. Is Mayor Williams here?
The mayor here? No,
I'll say. Okay, I'll step on the other side of you, Senator.
I know, and I don't know. I can't see you here.
Right, you'd be in the one to say something, Gordon, or do you just want me to...
Well, you can step in the center, Senator, and then I'll open up the
meeting.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Senator will speak to you briefly. He's got another stop to make in Granite City. He's going to point out some of the things about the center here and health programs in general, and he may have the opportunity to entertain a question or two from the press, perhaps. Senator?
Yes, sir, I'd like to see you. I'll come back in just a moment so I can say hello. First of all, may I say that we chose and we're delighted that we were made welcome here, chose this Will McGoy Neighborhood Health Center for a very simple purpose. The health needs of our country, I think, are at the very top of the list of our domestic problems all across the country. In the central cities, neighborhoods like this, in rural America as well. And unfortunately, our health system is developed in such a way that good health care is a prerogative of those who can afford it. Those who need it, can't afford it, find it all too often beyond their reach. There are two things I like about this center, especially. There are a lot of things I like about it. One thing I like about it is that has been built here in connection with the Model Cities program. I had something to do with the Model Cities program. Matter of fact, I guess I was the legislative father of the program. And one of the things we hoped we'd bring into federal programs in the cities is a concern for the human needs of people, and not just the physical needs of people. Prior to that time, we'd had urban renewal and other programs designed to reconstruct the physical side of a city. But the federal government had never really done what it should do to help people in their day-to-day human needs. And so the whole purpose of the Model Cities program was to begin to focus the resources of the federal government and also the other levels of government on the human needs of people. So this health care center is a tangible reflection of what that program can do when it's used wisely and well. I'm delighted to see the program developing so well here and so many people served. And I'm sure that we could spend a lot of time here this afternoon focusing on what this center does for the people of the area. There are one or two things that I'd like to emphasize that I've learned about as I've hastily gone through this center. One, of course, is that the services of this center are available to people, whoever they are, and it isn't dependent at all upon their ability to pay for the services. Secondly, its focus is on preventive medicine. A lot of people come into this center, you know, with a specific ailment, and are then subjected to a physical examination, a full physical examination, which they don't always understand. But as a result of that examination, other ailments or other health problems are identified and then subjected to care. That's what we call preventive medicine. And out of that, I gather that the people in this area increasingly are coming to understand the importance of regular physical examinations, the importance of identifying health problems before they reach the stage where curative medicine is necessary. And the third, I think, aspect of this center that I'd like to point out, and I do this not just for the benefit of the people who are here, but also for the press, is the fact that in connection with this center, there's a program of transportation that makes it possible for the center to reach out to people and bring them here. Because one of the real obstacles that stand between the poor, whether they're old or young or middle-aged, one of the obstacles that stands between them and health care is the transportation problem. Not only the cost of the care itself, but the transportation problem. And so I think that this center has properly identified many of the problems that stand between people who need care and the care that we ought to make available to them. Now, this isn't enough. This is a center that has serviced, I take it, since it was created 2 years ago, some 10,000 patients. And yet it serves an area, a population area of 140,000. There ought to be two or three more such centers serving the people of this area. And we need to have similar centers across the country in ghetto areas everywhere. I was in Newark, New Jersey recently. Newark is an area in many ways similar to this one. And what the mayor of Newark pointed out to me, Mayor Gibson of Newark, is that as the central city has deteriorated in property values, in every way, these kinds of services have fled or tended to flee the central city. And unless government at all levels makes a positive effort to establish facilities like this, those people increasingly are going to be deprived of the health care they ought to get. So, Mayor Williams, I'd like to say to you and to all of you and connected with this center how impressed I am and how much I appreciate the opportunity to dramatize through the media, these cameras. They will serve a useful purpose, I hope, what it is that this center is all about, why it is that we need more of them, and how important it is to make it available to people of low income all across this country. And so I hope that with that explanation, the people who've been sitting in waiting will have that much more patience with the people of the press. Now, I'd like to take a few questions, then I'd like to meet the people back here in the room.
Senator, what do you expect the president to announce tonight?
Well, I can only tell you what members of the press told me as I got off the plane. We didn't know on the plane whether or not he'd announced a subject. I speculated that it would probably be in connection with the war in Southeast Asia, and I gather that that is what it is. At least the press so advised me. And I take it that he will probably speak to the subject of a new diplomatic initiative to the other side in Paris. Senator Brooke of Massachusetts and Senator Scott of Pennsylvania had something to say on this subject yesterday, indicated that the president might be announcing a change in policy shortly, and I expect this will be it.
Do you know if he briefed the legislative leaders on the
side? I don't know what he's done today in that connection. I would expect that he would. He sometimes does. He doesn't always. I would hope that he did.
Sir, unlike President Nixon, who has a program of benign neglect toward black people, apparently, what program do you have for black people if you are elected? What program would you put into effect?
Well, the needs, we've identified one of the needs here, which is very critical. Beyond that, they want what all of us want. They want job opportunity. They want decent housing. They want in the central cities public transportation available in an effective way. They want good schools, access to them. These are the principal problem areas, as I see it, that blacks define to me across the country.
What would you do about these problems, sir?
Well, I think what's required, obviously, is a redirection of resources into these areas. Let me make one point in connection with the president's budget, for example. Two points I might make, but one especially. He announced an increase in defense spending in the next fiscal year. Now, that actually means that for non-Vietnam military expenditures, there will have been an increase of $15 to $20 billion under his administration at a time when we so desperately need resources here in the domestic area. In other words, he has used a great part of the Vietnam peace dividend, so-called, for additional military expenditures when what we needed was more domestic expenditures here at home. I would have made that shift if I had been president in this period. And that's the kind of shift I would try to make if I were president. Secondly, this budget reflects how disastrous his economic policies have been. For example, if we count up the deficits, the last fiscal year, the one we're in, and the one covered by his budget, that totals $87 billion of deficits. Now, what is the source of those deficits? The source of those deficits, the two largest items, are one, a slowed-down economy, which produced unemployment without really effectively dealing with inflation, and secondly, the increased cost of some of the consequences of unemployment, unemployment compensation benefits, Social Security benefits, and welfare costs. These costs, these three items, are climbing to something like $6 to $8 billion more than they would be with a full employment economy. So these two have been the drain on the budget that put us in a squeeze with respect to health problems, programs, housing programs, programs to deal with the unemployment problems of the blacks and other minorities who've been discriminated against. So what we must do is get the economy moving again. We need a program of economic stimulation directed at the problems of consumers, directed at the problems of the unemployed. This president's policies, by all of the economic projections that we get, will not hit the unemployment problem in any significant way for the next year. And unless we do, then we will not begin to generate the resources necessary to deal with these problems that we've discussed.
Senator, would you evaluate the administration's health care program or comment on that?
Well, I could describe it in one sentence. We have talk and then we have action, which are inconsistent with each other. For instance, in January of 1970, the president vetoed an HEW appropriation bill, and several of the items in that veto message were health items. And as a result of that veto, the Congress had to cut back in several areas of health programs which the president wouldn't accept. He vetoed the extension of the Hill-Burton Hospital construction program. Fortunately, the Congress overrode that veto. So he's given us all kinds of rhetoric in this field, but when it comes to acting and providing the money and supporting the appropriations approved by the Congress, he's gone the other way.
Thank you, Senator.
Now, I want to get back here, if I may. What's that?
Many people seem to feel that you have something less than enthusiastic appeal among college students. I was wondering whether you comment on that.
Well, I guess that you'd have to ask them to comment on it. I would hope that as they get to know me better, as they come to understand what it is that concerns me, what it is that I would like to change, what my commitments are, that they'll develop more interest. I find a great deal of enthusiasm among college people where I go, but it's not for me to beat my own drum. It's for you to measure me, evaluate me, and then decide whether you're for me or not. That's true of all Americans. I think what I want more than anything else in January of 1973 is a new president, a president who's truly committed to the problems of our people, who is responsive to their voices and their needs. Now, I'm going to try to demonstrate that I can be that president. If you're not satisfied, then I want you to pick a man who will satisfy you on this count. But the objective is to elect a new president because I think our priorities are wrong, I think our direction's wrong, and I think our management is wrong.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, no, just let me go back and shake a couple of his hands.
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Shut up.